Hey honeys, it's time for another gorgy episode of The Fundamental Guide to Life, the podcast with me, Gareth. This season, we've teamed up with possibly the honeyest summer festival ever, Back to Festival. What is Back to Festival, I hear you cry? Well, what if I told you there's a four-day Hunfest taking place at Caton Park, Derbyshire from the 30th of June to the 3rd of July, featuring some of the most iconic 90s and noughties nostalgic acts for you and your honeys to party with. I'm talking Bass Hunter, The Venga Boys, Batman Scoop, Wigfield, Scouting for Girls, oh yeah, and not forgetting Cascada, Aqua, UB40, and The Mighty Steps as part of their 25th anniversary tour, plus over 100 acts for you to go wild in the aisles with. Back 2 Festival is well equipped to keep a hun's needs met, from gorgy cocky tea bars, top quality branded drinkies, nom nom local food traders, and if that's not enough, a brand new dead exclusive VIP area for all preemie huns out there. So get on the pink Motorola Razr, set up a WhatsApp group, invite your best huns, get planning those outfits, and get ready to hit Back 2 Festival all huns blazing. Want to know more? No probs, babes. Check out Back 2 Festival on the old Facebook, or get on the gram and follow at Back to Festivals to get involved. Tickets are on sale now, starting at just £30. So what are you waiting for? Head over to www.backtofestivals.co.uk for all the deets, the full lineup, and ticket purchasing. Get ready for the most outrageous trip down memory lane. See you there, Gorge. Mwah. So welcome back to another episode of The Fundamental Guide to Life. And this week, my guest is straight out of Essex with pecs to die for. It's the absolutely Georgina, the stunning, I really want to say your name like this, Charlie King, previous star of TOWIE and seriously fit personal trainer. Welcome to The Fundamental Guide to Life, Charlie. How are you?
Thank you for having me. What an introduction. That's what we love.
I had to get you on the show because you're always lurking about in the Instagram comments of the Hunsnet post, doing better puns, hun puns than I could do. So I thought, right, we've got to get Charlie on the show.
I notice every time I comment on your page, what I say creates something. It's bizarre.
You're always causing ructions down in the comments of the Hunsnet post, and I love it for the engagement. So carry on with it.
Oh, I love it too. I like to see what everyone's thinking, and they seem to connect with the stuff that I say.
You're a hun guru.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm always looking for, like, if ever I want to take a week holiday and, like, turn the account off, I'm always looking for people to just pick it up for a week. So I think you could be a good contender.
I could be. I heard that you asked Ryland for that, didn't you? Because I listened to that. So,
oh, shit! People listen to these episodes!
They do. And if Ryland can't do it, Gareth, I am your man for that, 100%. We could do a little rota.
So basically, you're, like, second alternate, right?
Yeah, but that's okay.
We'll put together a training plan, and then maybe, you know, one day you can leapfrog over Ryland, and I'll tell you what, you can have it, because Ryland's probably too busy and he promised me his Radio 2 show when he was off, so that didn't happen. So, as I said, welcome to The Fundamental Guide to Life. First of all, we ask all of our guests this: do you classify yourself as a hun?
This is the million-dollar question, isn't it?
This is it.
I have to be honest, Scout, I'm not sure. As I've gotten a little bit older, I realized that I definitely warm to hun culture more than what I realized. I gravitate there. But I never really saw myself as a hun. I'm still learning. I'm still in that am I, aren't I mode. So I'm actually here to figure out if I am. By the end of this podcast, Gareth, I want to know, am I a certified hun?
Okay, well, this is really good to start this off. Now, we'll do the test in a second, whether or not you're a hun. Well, do you know what? Actually, I go out there and say this to everybody. Everybody can be a bit of hun, because, you know, being a hun is like not a one size fits all model. There are loads and loads and loads of hun categories that you can slip into. And I actually speak about this more in my brand new book out August 2022 called The Fundamental Guide to Life, available for pre-order now on Amazon. Yeah, so there's loads of different huns that you can fit into. But first of all, like, let's just chat about hun culture. What's hun culture to you?
I interpret hun culture as the things that just make you laugh, or the people that say or do things that you wouldn't necessarily do or say. And you kind of want to be that person's friend. that kind of vibe.
It's like living vicariously through like the ridiculous, isn't it? That's what I think it is a little bit. So it's like, you know, when your Nikki Grahams, your Gemmas, and all of the Huns that have gone before us are given all of these wild quotes. I mean, you'd never walk out and say that. Well, maybe you would, but it's like living through this extreme vicariousness of other Huns, and that's what I love about it.
Yeah, I think that's it in a nutshell. It's those people that will say the things that you might not say or you want to say, and when they say it, they just say it, they execute it in the way that you would love to.
Well, let's just talk about, I know you've done loads and loads of other things since Tawi, but we've got to talk about how Tawi feeds into Hun culture, because it is literally like Old Testament Hun culture, isn't it? How do you feel about being part of the groundbreaking Hun work that was done back in the day?
You know, they're rerunning a lot of the old episodes on ITVB at the minute. And I caught a glimpse of The Only Way Is Marbs literally this weekend just gone. Uh-huh. And I have to give us the pat on the back that we deserve, that we did create a moment. And I remember being a huge fan of the show when it first hit, and nobody knew what it was all about. It was first of its kind, wasn't it? And I was curious, obviously being an Essex boy, knowing that it was based on certain things that definitely fell into what my lifestyle was. When I watched it, I couldn't quite understand, because it was a part of Essex that I didn't know anything about. So it was an absolute eye opener, and obviously it opened up the world to Essex.
Yeah.
And then obviously as it developed and I got into it as well and I became part of it, I just learned so much about what Essex culture is. And now we see it from being 10 years down the line and we look back, you just think we really were a cultural reset, 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you know what I love about the early episodes and thinking about how it contributed into this is that it was the first look into like a regional area and how people live their lives in those places. And without getting all sort of like arty-farty about it, this is something that I find really, really like interesting. Like there are ways that people in Scotland, you know, they've got their little things, and then the people of the north have got their little things, and you know, Welsh people have got their little things. And I suppose it's things like, you know, using Wales as an example, looking at Gavin and Stacey, and like when I watch Gavin and Stacey, you have watched Gavin and Stacey, right? Yeah,
of course.
When I watch Gavin and Stacey, being a Welsh bloke, I'm like, I don't really find the Welsh stuff funny, because that's like how it is. But I look at like the Pam stuff and it's like brilliant. So what I love about it is, especially with Tawi, is that it sort of allowed us to really look into these regional places and find like these really funny things. You know, it's all about the fashion, the teeth, you know, all of those sorts of things. And each area has those little bits which all feeds into Hun culture. So that's what I love about it. So I salute the work that Tawi did back in the day.
Thank you. Me too.
So what we want to do is we said we were going to see how Hun you really were or are. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think we've skewed these towards the Essex vibe with the questions. So are you a socks with loafer wearing kind of guy?
No. So I don't know if you remember, I got on that show because I was the Essex boy with a difference. Uh-huh. And I didn't realize how pioneering I was by saying that back in the day. Uh-huh. And I was so new to that whole look and aesthetic, because that wasn't how I lived. And so it was actually old Miss Collins that taught me about the whole loafer and sock and tassel on your shoe situation. Because when I first went out with her, I was wearing a pair of Dr. Martin boots. And she said it turned her into stone. And I would never forget it. I took her for a date. We went for a prawn sandwich in Blue Water.
This is brilliant.
She looked at my shoes and she said, oh no, we've got to go to Russell and Bromley straight away. And I was like, what's Russell and Bromley? And it was where all those loafers would be found. It was the mecca to the loafer.
I can't wait for this episode to hit, because the quote that we're going to use is, Ms. Collins took me for a prawn sandwich to Blue Water.
She loved it. We were like rock and roll stars walking around Blue Water. She felt like, you know, we had a whole trail of people following us because the show was massive. And the first thing she said to me was, we need to sort your shoes out, Charlie. And it was just an eye-opening experience, but I never connected with the loafer.
Have you sort of come back full circle now? You've got rid of the loafers. You didn't really get into it. Are you back in the Dr. Martin boots? Because they're kind of in now again, aren't they?
Right? I love me a DM. And to be honest, I've always liked a chunky boot. Like my style, even before Towie, was very Hum. So I guess if we're starting to piece it all together now, I was always called Noel out of hearsay. I was told I looked like him from when Pop Stars was on. And I used to go for those really baggy cargo pants. I didn't ever have the ones with the strips at the side, the bits of fabric that hanging down. But I went for a baggy cargo pant Timberland boot.
Well, this is it. In previous season of The Fundamental Guide to Life, we actually spoke about men's denim. Men's denim back in the day, it was just gross, wasn't it?
It was terrible.
What were we thinking?
I do not know. I do not know. No. But I think there was part of me that always thought I was like from LA. So I was like a dancer, choreography kind of guy. So it was always like the baggy pants, the cat boots. And I had a name belt. Do you remember you could put your actual name in a belt? I had Charlie engraved into a belt, which was my first purchase off the internet ever.
Took 7 weeks from China to get here, but you were rocking it around. Do you know what? I posted a meme the other day of the original Love Island, you know, with Callum and Fran and Patrick Keelty and Paul Dunan. One thing I've noticed, and actually, because that was the time when I think it was about 2005, where I kind of, that was probably my prime of life. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, my prime of life is now, but what I probably considered as my prime of life. And the boys wore our denim quite low slung back in the day, didn't we?
Sure did. We love those low rise. Apparently they're coming back in now.
Oh, hon, I don't. The thing is that, you know, I like carbs too much.
Yeah,
I really
too.
Like carbs too much for a bit of low rise. And oh, God, I mean, I don't know, we're locked down and everything like that. You know, I don't shave as often as I used to. So no, I'm not for the low rise.
It's very hard keeping that lower bit of the stomach flat and taut, isn't it? I've noticed that as we get into our 30s.
I'm just getting into my 30s as well. 40s. Thanks for that, Charlie. You being a bit of a personal trainer, you've probably got all the tips, and we can talk about that a little bit later. Some top five tips for huns for getting their stomach toned ready for low rise.
For low rises. I love that. I'm going to do a workout plan for that.
Let's talk about this as well, because we always talk about this on the show. What's your favorite like fitness DVD from back? Can you remember some of the DVDs from back in the day? You had my favorite one was Ministry of Sound, Pump It Up. That was really good. I do like Nat Cass's Then and Now workout.
That's iconic.
And what else do I like? I like Tracy Shaw's Salsa Size. Do you remember Tracy Shaw?
Tracy Shaw and Darren Day. That was an iconic couple, wasn't it?
They were, yeah. Darren Day. And then he went out with Suzanne from Hearsay, and they had a son together. And I only remembered that recently because they posted jointly about their son's birthday. There we are.
There we go.
Obviously Essex, back in the day, were you a fake tan fan or no way man?
Do you know, we all like a bit of fake tan. I was a Pisbwin kind of guy. And I did. Is it Pisbwin?
I've just Pisbwined myself.
No, I used to like the whole overnight situation. And then in the morning, you wash it off and you stain the old pillowcases. Yeah.
It's a bit, fake tan back in the day was a bit like a lottery, wasn't it? It was like you just put it on, slapped it on, and hoped for the best,
I
mean, these days, do you fake tan?
I do, if I'm ever doing something like media-y wise, or I want to get that little glow.
Yeah.
Tom Ford do an amazing bronzer. It's like a little gel, and it gives you just that little pop of color, and your skin looks really healthy. And yeah, that seems to work for me without the whole rigmarole of, you know, exfoliating and having to worry about all the other stuff. It's a pain in the ass.
Let's talk about your Tom Ford a bit. Do you think we could get away? Do you think the Huns could just get away with a bit of holiday skin? Do you remember Johnson Holiday Skin? We used to come home and basically put fake tan on yourself after you come on holiday.
That's it.
To extent.
You know it.
What was people thinking back in the day? You've just come back from holiday and you're just going to put fake tan on to extend that. Crazy.
It's just more is more, isn't it? It's an obsession.
Yeah, it does. And you can just go down a fake tan rabbit hole, and before you know it, you're a guest on This Morning. I'm addicted to fake tan. Talking about holidays, where would be your ultimate Hun destination holiday? Now, obviously, we all know about the only way is Marbs.
Yeah.
But is that your Hun holiday destination, or
it was the destination for me because my parents had a place out there, which was why I fitted so into the show's narrative. So Marbella has a very special place in my heart for back in the day. Uh-huh. But then as I got a little bit older and obviously things change and I tried to distance myself a little bit from all of that,
yeah,
I fell in love with Ibiza. And Ibiza really is still the place for me that I see myself growing old in, really.
Really?
I just love it there. You know, there's something about the energy of Ibiza,
yeah,
which just captures what I'm about. I love to have a good time, but equally, anyone that knows me knows I love all my sunsets and tranquility, yeah, and Ibiza just does it all. And you can be totally, yeah, free there. So it's a very... it's a special place.
Do you think you'll have a nice business over there? Maybe open a little cocky tea bar or do your personal training, or are you just going to go over there and live the Hun life?
No, I used to have a little sandwich bar back in the day. Before the Tower days, I used to have a little sandwich delicatessen, and it suits my nature. I'm a bit of a perfectionist when it comes to all of that stuff. So a business would be great for me because I can't sit still. I'm that kind of guy. So yeah, I'd have to have something out there. I'm not really into cocktails, truthfully.
What is your Hun drink then? Don't tell me Tequila Rose.
Oh no, this is where I don't know if I'm a Hun because I don't drink.
Do you not? Well, no, you're a reformed Hun. This is why when we do our Hun brunches, which you're more than welcome to come to, actually, Charlie, I can't believe you've not come to one yet, actually. What we do is we don't actually, you know, like you go to all of these bottomless bullet brunches and it's 50 quid and it's all you can drink Prosecco. We don't do that because we appreciate that people, like some people don't want to drink and stuff like that. I mean, so yeah, no, don't worry. If you're not a drinker, you can still be a Hun. That's fine.
Well, I mean, do you know, I actually used to always go for this cocktail called the San Francisco. And if you don't know what it is, you need to know.
It's, what is it? Come on.
Well, it's just every sugary mixer you can imagine, all plonked into one with a lovely little umbrella, and it's just sugar overload without any alcohol, but you still feel like you're having a cocky tea.
So you're basically getting high off a sugar rush, and then your teeth are gone, you've got nothing, but you're not drinking alcohol, it's fine.
The irony in that, huh?
have you always been a non-drinker, or was there a turning point where you said, nah, enough for sexy is enough?
Yeah, no, I never really got into the whole drinking thing. And funnily enough, having a business at a young age was such a responsibility. So I had to take that sensibly, which always meant being ready for work. And then when we were doing TOWIE, which was my first real experience of a social life and partying, because I hadn't done any of that. That was a true story on the show.
Well, hang on a minute. You had been for a prawn sandwich at Blue Water with Gemma. I mean, that is a social life.
Well, yeah. I mean, that was a very unique start to my social life, I have to say. Everything I did on the show when it came to going out, trying to be one of the boys, which I absolutely die at now, was all true because I hadn't experienced anything. Yeah. So I never really drunk. And then we used to film the show like late into the night. And so a lot of the time I wouldn't drink because I'd have to drive back. And as the years went on, I thought, well, I've got this far without it. So I don't really need it. But I do like the odd, if I'm away, like if I'm in Ibiza or in Mykonos or somewhere, I do love a sunset drink. 100%.
You mentioned something there about back in the day and things that you look back and cringe and like laugh about now. How do you feel like when somebody like me puts together a meme and uses some of your old content from back in the day? I mean, because I look for like, I love like old niche content and like spinning it in a different way to turn it funny. How do you feel like, particularly sometimes, like if you're the star of that meme?
You know, for me, it's fun. It's really nice to see. I don't think we realized what we were doing at the time because we were just so authentically ourselves and we all were playing this. We had an opportunity that you could never have foreseen happening. Mm-hmm. And then you're trying to navigate being real people as well as being famous or getting opportunities that famous people get.
Yeah.
And obviously it just showed how amateur we all were. And I don't know, when I see flashbacks from things that you pull out of the show or interview clips that I've done in the past with Gemma or whatever, you can just see that we had no idea what we were doing. But they were great times, and I'm almost pleased that there's a little bit of a legacy now. I'm pleased to be part of that culture.
Yeah, no, it's good. And I, do you know what? Actually, it's so funny. Like, you know, like these moments that have happened years ago in reality TV and these shows. I speak about this quite a lot on season one, is about sayings that like creep into my, you know, day-to-day life for people. And do you know what? Me and my friendship group all the time, we're always going like, what are you talking about, Charlie? Like, that is just something that we just say all the time. And these moments that have happened like ages ago.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. And then obviously when Bobby says to Gemma about ripping the cheap wig off the
Amazing.
Head, it's just these sorts of quotes, like they exist in my life. And I know they exist in a lot of the listeners and the people who follow the page, like daily, weekly. And what I love so much about Hun culture is how these moments, these fleeting moments that happened 10, 15 years ago, can take up such a massive space in people's life and be so meaningful. It's brilliant.
That ain't real.
That
ain't
really real.
It's the best. It's the best.
But obviously as well, we've got to talk about Mescaline Fella. That is my favourite one.
What's wrong with me saying that I've met? Oh, iconic.
What was it like filming that?
I mean, at the time, I was shitting myself because she is such a force, and she was already royalty on the show, and everybody knew that she was the queen, and she'd create such a buzz. And obviously my whole thing on the show was I was never really meant to be on it full time. They were just going to follow mine and Gemma's story. Yeah. And it kind of fizzled quite quickly, as we know, as tragic as that was. So the producers were quite keen to see if there was any room for me to grow within myself on the show amongst other people. But obviously she just kept lurking behind me, and I felt like she kept goading me, because she was obviously on a mission to try and find out something, or she was being wound up by people. And Gemma being wound up by people, she was always on the defense and always on the attack. So at the time, I have to say, I'd be sitting in my car ready to film, quivering, because I know that her car would be around the corner, because we used to all be held separately.
Yeah.
And I knew whenever we'd do a scene after being together, it was always going to be quite tumultuous. And it was, but it created some iconic TV.
Oh God, yes. Is it something that you can both look back at now and like laugh at fondly? Like, you know, because I think it's like you say, it's created brilliant TV. And then the spin-off of it is how the content from back in the day is like used differently, like to explain a catastrophic situation in 2022. It's brilliant.
Amazingly. You're right in what you say. And I've realized the way that I was quite before its time, without sounding like full of myself. But I realized the things that I was saying, and even though I was quite lost and it was obvious to a lot of people, that was my reality at that moment.
Yeah.
And I was trying to just show another version of what an Essex guy was.
Yeah.
I was learning on the job. We were doing it all under the scrutiny of Twitter and turning the show around within days. We'd film something on a Monday and it'd be out on the Wednesday, and you would never know how it was going to edit. So your life was in the balance of so many different things. And I actually pat myself on the back now with how I handled the situations, because at times it wasn't easy. On a serious.
Yeah. The viewers at that time, and even with reality TV now, I think it's important to say, is that people are consuming people's lives as entertainment and actually forgetting that 5 minutes of a 20 minute show is actually a massive part, if not the biggest part, of people's lives. And I think that's the one thing that, which I think is different now from the time, is that it does appear to be getting kinder. It's never going to be thing. Would you agree with that? Or
I mean, obviously you're always going to get some, but on the whole, I think that there's been a movement with so many different aspects to that stuff in light of things that have happened over this 10-year period. So at the time it was quite tough, and I used to get very nervous, to be honest.
Hold up, we'll be back with our Gorgy guest right after this. Thank you for supporting Hunsnet on Instagram and loyally listening to this podcast, The Fundamental Guide to Life. Now, The Instagram of the podcast will always be totally free to you, babes, and you will never have to dip into that Prosexy pot to carry on consuming the Hunsnet content that you enjoy. But we know that some of you would love more content, and to facilitate this, you can now go behind the curtain and support Hunsnet on Patreon. For as little as the cost of your morning cup of coffee, you can get exclusive access to so much more Hunsnet content, exclusive discounts, offers, and even get the podcast in video form and ad free. Get involved now, babes. www.patreon.com/Hunsnet. Hun supporting Huns, honey. So we talked about these famous quotes that creep into my life with you and your friends, or you and your family, or your or people around you. Is there anything that, like, you quote or memes that come into your head that you think, oh, I quote that all the time, or it's something that just, you know, sort of leaks into your vocabulary?
So I'm really good friends with Lucas, who is Gemma's old stylist, and Lucas Armitage, who is hilarious. Yeah. And obviously,
yes,
we've shared quite a lot of similar experiences being around the GC, but we tend to live in a bit of a Hun language, if you like. We're always talking in Hun.
Didn't you say at the top of this episode that you didn't know whether you were Hun or not, and you've got a Hun language? Come on.
See, this is good for me. This is like a therapy. This is a Hun therapy session. You know me, Gareth. I'm always lost. I never know who I am.
Oh, Hun. Well, you're in good company here.
We always seem to bring up the one where, you know, it can be quite, life can be quite challenging at times, can't it? Whether it's work or relationships or whatever. And we always use the one where Gemma says, you know, this is a hard slog, this life for me. You know, it's going to be a hard slog. However, but it's always that sort of tone. And that one always sticks in my head.
It's when she's on Big Brother with Tiffany outside, it's cold, and she goes, it's going to be a long slog for me, this life.
That's it.
And then Tiffany goes, no, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And she goes, I can't see it myself. And then she goes, do you want babies? And then she goes,
yeah.
Do you know what I think? Like, do you know what I love about Gemma? And like, I know we could talk about Gemma, you know, in the Hun world. Gemma, I think, is so aware of the way that things sound and what's appealing, and the rhythm. Like, the rhythm that she speaks is so appealing to the ear. Mm. Over many a drunken conversations with my friends, we're like, why is Gemma so funny, and why are the things? And I think it's because of the rhythm. Yeah. Of her voice and the way that she says it, because she's definitely reached the sweet spot.
She has many, many, many times, and she'll continue to, I'm sure.
Do you know what my favorite Gemma quote is, actually? Oh. Is when she says, keep listening to Steph, Hun. You know, it's a bit in Gemma Collins' best bit where she's like, no, you do it, Hun. I don't need no cheap clothes or makeup, honey.
Oh,
keep listening to Steph, Hun.
Have you ever seen the clip where me and her are out at the Sugar Hut, and she goes, it's on YouTube, we're out tonight, Charlie and I, for Harry's birthday. If any of you girls are sitting at home comfort eating, I want you to remember, I was a car dealer from Essex.
Car dealer from Romford.
Come from Romford, yeah. And I met my dream fella. Your life can change at any time. We're a CONDOM.
No, well, I think that's the one that I've used previously, because I mean, I don't want to accuse, but it does look like Gemma's had a few drinks in that thing. And she's like, I was a car dealer from Romford, and any of you girls watching this,
that's it.
You know, your life's going to change. We play that at, like, so we do Hun Bingo at Hun Brunch, and whenever we put, say, Gemma Collins, that's the sound that we play. I was a car dealer from Romford. Well, it's true.
I need to come to this.
More than welcome. Amazing. Bring your Hun's Hun, we'll get you in. We can induct you actually as an official Hun.
Amazing.
At Hun Brunch.
I love that.
Brilliant. You were star of one of the, you know, almost like not the original reality, but the second wave of reality, like that, because obviously the original reality was the Big Brother. The second was more sort of like staged reality and following people's lives out of a controlled environment. What's your thoughts on reality TV now? Have you got a favourite style of reality show? Is there something that you like? Is there something you'd like to be on that you haven't been on?
I think because I'm older now, and the truth is, Gareth, I've been up for like nearly every show you can imagine, and I never get them. Ever get them. And it's quite disheartening. So I kind of turn my back a little bit on the reality genre and try to focus my energy on other things that might be more suited to me. But there's no denying that I love like the big show still, like the, I guess you would class like Strictly a reality show, right?
Yeah.
I love Strictly, but I tend to like more things like The Dragon's Den these days. I'm trying to be more of a businessman. And I love Stephen. I'm mad about Stephen.
We watch Dragon's Den like religiously now. And I've got to say, I am obsessed with Deborah Meaden because it's Deborah's show.
True.
And everybody else is just in it. It's the way she's like, you know where I'm going with this, don't you?
Mm.
Yes, I'm out. And then there's the smug face, and then there's the closing of the book, and then there's the putting of the book down, and then there's having a drink. I just love it. So we like Dragon's Den. What about these shows like Married at First Sight Australia and everything like that? Are you into that? Do you watch it?
You know, I don't really get to watch them. I'm more of a, I like a box, no, box set. Oh God, sounds like back in the day, doesn't it? A box set. Gossip Girl. Loved Gossip Girl. That was my one.
You know, I've got to be honest with you, I don't really watch Strictly. It's too staged for me. It's too glitzy and everything. I liked X Factor Glory years where you could go in and meet, you know, Joe McKeldry's nan. You know, when Joe McKeldry's nan was on there and you had Alexandra Burke and all of that. Mm. That was the glory years.
100%.
Okay, now we're going to get personal with you now. So, Charlie, you're a bit of an animal lover. So, what do you consider the honeyest pet? Have you got any pets?
No, I used to have dogs. I used to have beagles, and they're hound dogs, and they were quite intense. But I've never really been one for like, I'm more of a big dog kind of guy, medium to big dog. Not really into the whole handbag situation or chihuahua. Never really got that vibe. No. And with little sort of furry ferrets, Not really a bit of me, gal, I've got to be honest.
Oh, God, Charlie doesn't like the furry ferrets, everybody. There's the scoop here.
Not really.
What was your dog's name? Did you have hun dog names?
No, it was very traditional. They were two beagles called Dylan and Bailey. And I thought I was like this Essex gentleman with my hound dogs walking around with my welly boots on and flat cap. You can just see it, can't you?
Like the Beckhams, when the Beckhams are Christmas.
It was always going back to David Beckham fashion, like a barber jacket, that kind of vibe. No, do you know what? Actually, thinking about this, I used to live in Von Dutch and Ed Hardy caps. Ah!
Hun, I'm going to... Right, okay, for the purpose of the tape, I'm looking at it now, so... I am obsessed with Von Dutch, and I'm actually all about bringing... I would love to get Von Dutch back in the mainstream.
Yes.
And last month, I bought 3 Von Dutch caps, okay? And they came in from Germany, and I'm looking over here. So this is one of my Von Dutch caps that I have to send back, unfortunately.
Why?
Because I went to Hun Brunch last Saturday, and I wore this cap. Now,
amazing.
Look at it.
Yep.
Von Dutch. What's wrong with that? They've literally flipped it on the wrong way. So I got to the end of Hun Brunch, and one of my friends said to me, well, one of my friend's friends said to me, you know that the labels round, they're wrong on there. So yeah, I spent the whole time with the Von Dutch cap back.
Oh,
to front.
My they're goodness. Not. I mean, it's a new thing. It could be a new vibe to bring it forward.
It could. And actually, on the subject of caps, I can see your caps there. Now, this is from your own label.
Mm.
Okay, so is this a new business venture? Tell us all about your new venture into fashion.
I'm a fashion. I really am a hun, aren't I? This is great for me. So the little backstory to this is... You know me, I always get a little bit serious. I'm known for my deep and meaningfuls. Let's have it right. Uh-huh. I got myself in quite a dark place during the lockdown, and it's been quite well documented, and I'm happy to talk about that. But over the years, obviously, I come from that ilk of seeing people that have platforms and profiles and reality TV stars get involved in branding and fashion and whatever. And I never did anything. And because I was in such a low place, I was so bored. Obviously, we were all locked up. I was just trying to think of things and ways that I might want to just try and create something or get my creative juices flowing or just occupy my brain, because I'd had a nose job and it'd gone wrong. And I was in such a dark, dark place with body dysmorphia that a friend of mine, she works in fashion, and I told her what I wanted to do. And she was like, Charlie, just do it. If you're going to do something, do it now. And she was a great advisor for me. And she's ended up becoming part of my team. And we just put a little range of t-shirts out there, and Gareth, they sold everywhere. It was mental. And so it caused a spiral of, like, you know, creative spark. And I then wanted to think, oh, I'm going to bring caps in, and I'm going to do beanie hats in the winter, and I'm going to do stuff for Pride, and then I'm going to try and do a collection that might help for charity. So I've just actually got one here, which is for a BDD charity, the BDD, which obviously is an issue close to my heart. And I'm doing a collab with them now so we can raise awareness and money. And it's just something that I'm really enjoying getting my teeth into. And you never know, it might fly.
That's good to hear. And I mean, I've seen, you mentioned there about time in lockdown. And I think you make a valid point that we're perhaps similar in this. You know, one reason why I really threw everything into Hunsnet really is because I can't sit with anything not to do. I feel like, you know, I feel like a void really. And then, you know, sort of finding something to create and going into that creative space and, you know, putting on events, you know, merchandise and things like that, it fills this block of time where you don't have to be in your head. So now that things have become busier and we're out of lockdown, has your fashion venture now filled that space, do you think?
It has. And I just have to say as well, like with what you do, there's been so many times in my little dark hours that you scroll down and you see something that you've put out there and it makes me laugh, or I feel inclined to comment. And it's a real medicine. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you. So let's give the plug to the fashion brand here. So where can we find you? Obviously we're through Instagram.
Yeah, through Instagram, and it's bycharlesking.com, and there's a nice range of hoodies, t-shirts. We've got some really cool things coming out towards the summer. I'm even looking at sunglasses now and swimwear, and we got an investor, Gareth. Like, I've really come up in the world. This is why I'm so into Dragon's Den.
With your fashion brand and everything like that. So we've got the sunglasses. Do you think you'd ever go into like maybe a scent? You know, like every celebrity hun has had a scent.
I mean, you never know, do you? I mean, I saw Michael Bublé's scent the other day in Savers. And it did inspire me, I have to be honest.
It's funny you should say that. And I'm looking at, right, so the reason why I'm always looking to this side for the purpose of the tape, I'm recording in what was once my spare bedroom. It's now turned into basically, you know what it's like running a small business. You've got stock, you've got samples, you've got all of this shit. Now, when we first started doing Hun Brunch, we weren't allowed to put on entertainment. So we tried to... we tried to make it more entertaining by doing some interactive quizzes. Not really sure we were allowed to do that. And one of the rounds that we did was celebrity perf huns. And we basically went through the crowd and sprayed them with perfume. And they had to guess who it was and they could see the thing. And actually, I didn't realize until shopping for celebrity perfumes that Michael Bublé had the audacity to bring out a celebrity perfume. But you knew that.
I did.
You knew that unprompted.
Yeah, I did. And it was a big seller, apparently, because I like to research these sort of things. I have to be honest. I mean, it's all about the J-Lo glow for me. I mean, if you're talking about that.
Classic.
Or Deseo. That was it. But yeah, Michael Bublé, he's a legend with all of that stuff.
Okay, Charlie, we're now moving on to the next part of The Fundamental Guide to Life. And we're talking about music, because music is a massive part of Hun culture. And a lot of the music from back in the day feeds into Hun culture and everything in the present time. So before we go into our live, love and laugh tracks, first of all, Charlie, what type of music are you into?
I mean, as I said, like I've always thought that I was a little bit ghetto, like an American pop star vibe. We know that I love Madonna.
Do you think you're Scooter Braun?
Scooter Braun. No, I do not. I don't know what I think I am. No, I think I'm Rodney Jerkins, Dark Child.
Yeah, Dark Child.
It's a Dark Child remix. I was obsessed with that era. I've got to be honest. Like, it was always Dark Child, what he did with Tony Braxton, Michael Jackson, the Destiny's Child, J-Lo. Yeah, that was my vibe. And with over here in the UK, I was a massive fan. I noticed that I always liked like the edgier side of our girl band. So when the Honeys did Take It Lying Down, I was like all over that. I thought it was sexy, and it was with the leather and everything like that. It was amazing. And then you had Who else did we? Oh, when Holly Valance did Down Boy.
Oh, Down Boy.
I was like, yeah.
Do you know what? I know it was a little bit later. I know it was a little bit later. It was around Little Mix time. But do you know which girl band I absolutely loved? I loved Neon Jungle. And we used to call them, you know, like the one that does Braveheart, tell me, because we used to just call them Dirty Little Mix. And that's what I loved about it. Because they were like, oh, yeah.
No, they were
Braveheart reunion.
They were good. They were very good.
We found out that you're a bit of an herb hun. See, we've got a hun pun for everything. So we're going to whiz through these. So you're getting ready for one of your banging workouts. What is the track that makes you live, like absolutely pumped up, ready to go?
If you're going to seize the day and you're hearing what us... Yeah, Toka. Toka me. Fragma, isn't it? Toka's Miracle.
So Fragma, Toka's Miracle. That will go on to the Hunsnet playlist because that is a banger. Okay, it's a candlelight dinner. You've just bought somebody a Pandora bracelet charm. And you're about to present it to them. What song is playing in the background?
I mean, this was quite well documented in my TOWIE days, wasn't it?
She's all I ever had.
Who is it? Who sung that?
I don't know.
It's the way she looks. Ricky Martin, She's All I Ever Had.
Oh, hon. Well, look how that turned out.
Well, Nobody Wants to Be Lonely. I liked those two songs.
Yeah, we'll stick them onto the Hunsnet playlist. You can have
Thanks,
that.
Thanks, Gareth.
And finally, Your Face Aches From Laughing with your Hun Army. What song reminds you of a time that you laughed a lot?
What was the song? And this goes back to memories with Gemma, actually. Time is money, don't fuck with mine. How did that go? It was that lyric that always stayed out, but it was that song. I can't quite remember which one that was.
Is it Jax Jones? Ooh, Anna, yeah. Don't act like you know me.
That reminds me of Mykonos being around Jackie O's swimming pool, and that came on. And she loved that song, and we used to just have a right old laugh to it. So that was.
Good. I think there's a clip of her going off to it, isn't it? I love a Gemma Collins on Holly Bobs.
On a Holly Bobs
clip,
yeah.
On her Holly Bobs, brilliant. So those three tracks, Fragma's Toka's Miracle, your Ricky Martin one that I can't remember the name of, but I'll listen to it back and we'll add it to, and then also Jack Jones, will be added to the Hunsnet playlist.
Amazing.
So thank you so much for those contributions. Okay, Charlie, we're near to the end of the recording now, but on the Fundamental Guide, every week, our guests get the opportunity to nominate and to induct another Hun into the Hun Hall of Fame and be this week's Royal Hunness. Now, you can choose anyone. They can be anyone. They can be male, female, anyone in between, wherever.
Now, I need your advice on this one because I was trying to think about, as I've grown up, people that have really like made an impression. And could we class like Dorian Green from Birds of a Feather?
100%.
Could we?
100%. We absolutely could. So Leslie Joseph as
Dorian.
Okay, so this is new Hun territory. There is content there that we've not tapped into. I mean, Dorian Green is probably one of the trailblazers of the Hun world.
Well, she's very much like my nan. And my nan was known for having a bit of a reputation of going out and about and numerous dates and God knows what she got up to. Uh-huh. And there was always this like... It just tickled me. And she used to always say the things in light of what Hun culture is. But she was a little bit outrageous, wasn't she? She wore some outrageous stuff. She always had a leopard print on, little mini skirts. And she'd always be tottering around, wouldn't she, with her little heels on. Marcus was always misbehaving, wasn't he? He was always out of town.
And she was getting a lot as well, weren't she? She was quite a randy bugger, wasn't she?
She was. So I think she was a pioneer for... Hun culture.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, I mean, I think that this is new ground. And I tell you what, my brain is now ticking now about old Dorian Green content that we can now unleash into the world of Hun culture.
Please do.
So Leslie Joseph, Dorian Green, Birds of a Feather, you have been hunducted into this week's Hun Hall of Fame as the Royal Hunness by Charlie King. Congratulations.
Love that.
Love it. So, Charlie, we have come to the end of the Fundamental Guide to Life. Thank you for sharing all your Huns and stuff. But before we go, I think you asked at the top of the show, we get to the end and you would now classify yourself as a Hun. So I tell you what, I'm not the one marking the sheet here. Charlie, you've been through the Fundamental Guide to Life. Would you now class yourself as a Hun?
I do. I'm a Hun. I'm classing myself as a Hun.
Charlie King, here on The Fundamental Guide to Life, is not a little bit of a Hun. You're a total Hun.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
See you in the comments. Bye.
Bye.
Well, that's it. Another episode of The Fundamental Guide to Life is over. But before you go, have you checked out the brand new HunsNet website? www.hunsnet.com, our brand new home on the Tinterweb. Need to get tickets to Hun Brunch? We got you, darling, as all the tickets can be found there. Not yet pre-ordered the brand new HunsNet book? Hitting bookshelves this August, might I say. Don't worry, babes, all is forgiven because you can pre-order it on the site. And finally, if you want to treat yourself or one of your honeys to a dead gorgy present, you can browse our full range of merch too. Log on now for all things HunsNet on the web, www.hunsnet.com.
Insanity Group.